All right, that was an insane game between Alabama and Georgia. So I was waiting for it to finish before beginning this 49ers-Patriots prediction. Just on time, right around 8:30. Georgia, they almost notched the biggest comeback in school history. I was looking forward to talking to Robert Beal Jr. about that. 49ers defensive end. We talk about Georgia football sometime. I'm not a fan of Georgia. Don't worry about that. But I'm not a fan of Alabama either. But I like talking to Robert about his former team. Probably I'm going to skip talking to Robert about his former team. They came all the way back. They took the lead. And then Alabama took it right back. And I think that was a 17-year-old receiver who delivered that one play. All it took was one play for Alabama to grab the lead back, and then they didn't relinquish it. But the receiver was 17 years old. Just makes me think that moving forward here, the receiving talent coming out of college just seems to be getting better and better and better. We might see a depression in that wide receiver market at some point, a market correction. Right now, it's obviously booming. Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk all signed really big deals. But if the talent is being replenished on rookie contracts from the college level, the way that it looks like it might be, I think that's when you might see that market correction. It's going to take teams deciding not to, to pay receivers who are borderline A-listers for that to happen. But it's going to be fascinating. Anyway, as you filter in, that's my thoughts on the on that Georgia-Alabama game. That was crazy. Fun football. My team, Stanford, they're not nearly as good as when I went to Stanford a long time ago. They lost to Clemson today. And it, you know, you could say that it should have been a little bit closer, but they did throw those terrible interceptions and they couldn't keep it close when they had a little bit of a chance. It's still weird to see Stanford and Clemson playing in a conference game. I mean, crazy stuff. Next week, it's Cal hosting Miami in a conference game. I'm going to go check that out as a fan. It's going to be obviously here in the Bay Area, and College Game Day is coming to Berkeley for the first time ever. But we got a game before then to cover. It's going to be 49ers and the Patriots. San Francisco favored by 10 tomorrow. They are better than the Patriots. I think that we can say that. Now, the question is, how well will the 49ers play? And just how good is or how bad is their defense? I think that Brock Purdy alone, the fact that it's Purdy against either Jacoby Brissett or Drake May if he ends up coming into this game, but the fact that Purdy is on the 49ers makes them the favorite in this game. They have an elite quarterback on one side. The Patriots obviously don't have that to match. The craziest stat entering this game, the 49ers have 581 pass yards on throws of 10 or more yards downfield. That leads the NFL with Brock Purdy. The Patriots are dead last. They're at like 80. They're 500 yards behind the 49ers in that statistic. So it's number one against number 32 in that regard. 49ers also will have a boost. This is something that we anticipated, but this is something that Jordan Schultz now confirmed with his reporting that Deebo Samuel does plan to play. The way that Deebo was talking yesterday, it seemed that he was planning to play. The practices went well for him on Thursday and Friday, so he's going to be back a week sooner than expected. Remember that the calf strain, initially they thought it was going to be a couple of weeks for Deebo Samuel, but it's only going to be 1 week, assuming everything tonight goes well and everything in pregame warmup goes well. So the fact that Deebo is going to be back alongside George Kittle, also back for this game, is it time for the 49ers yak attack to fire it up, kick it into gear? Because so far this season, the yak attack has not been there for San Francisco. This is my article up on The Standard. I wrote that the 49ers offense is already clicking. Two big weapons may give it another boost. Well, age well, because the 49ers are anticipating those two weapons to return, George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. That's what I based the article on. I then talked about the yards after the catch for San Francisco so far this year. Have a read here. Zoom in if you have to. They've been number one in, or number as low as number three, but not any lower than that, in every single season since 2018. Number one in yak after completion in 2018, number one in the league in 2019 in yak, number one in 2020, number one in 2021, down to number three in 2022, and number one in 2023. But then all of a sudden here in 2024, the 49ers are dead last. in yards after the catch per reception, number 32. So I think the main part of the reason why the 49ers are dead last in yak so far this year is because Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey have all missed time. But as you just saw, they were number one in 2018, and that was before Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey were around. They're number one in 2020, and that's when Debo Samuel and George Kittle were hurt for a majority of the season, and Christian McCaffrey wasn't yet around. So something's got to give. Why did the 49ers drop to number 32? I think it's obvious. I think the fact that the 49ers are playing against more eight-man coverages than any other team in the league is the reason. It's essentially respect for Brock Purdy. Teams are saying Brock Purdy is going to be good no matter what. So we could just, you know, we can't stop him. We're going to have to contain him. And they feel that if they could just limit Brock Purdy to good efficiency instead of great efficiency by playing these drop back defenses with eight men in coverage, the 49ers defense is playing poorly enough right now to where that's a winning formula. And they don't have the weapons to create yak out of nothing downfield. If there's an extra guy in coverage with eight-man coverages, it's going to be a whole lot harder to generate yards after the catch. A couple other stats support what I'm saying. Purdy is throwing into tight windows at the second highest rate in the league. That means that not as much is open for him, and that makes sense given the fact that he's facing a lot of eight-man coverages. And Brock Purdy also is averaging the second longest time to throw, average time from snap to release in the league at 3.05 seconds. It's turned into a little bit of a prime Russell Wilson situation for Brock Purdy, where he's scrambling around. That's going to happen. When only three are rushing, there's going to be a little less acute pressure, but there's also going to be fewer windows open downfield. And in the case of what's happening right now, that turns into scrambling for Brock Purdy. So all those stats, the advanced stats, add up to tell us the story that we've seen on tape. Yak is hard to come by when defenses are playing top down, when they're dropping a lot of guys back and Brock Purdy is having to work for everything that he gets. Regardless, the 49ers offense has still been number four in passing by EPA per play, but they're going to want to move this from good to great. Right now, they're good offensively. They want to be great. The way to cut off the greatness from the 49ers is to cut off the yak. But I think with Debo Samuel playing and with George Kittle playing, it's going to be a whole lot harder for the New England Patriots to cut off the yak in the same way that the Rams and the Minnesota Vikings before them were able to. Even the New York Jets. The New York Jets, I think, conceded against the 49ers. They conceded good efficiency, not great efficiency. But if the 49ers can get the yards after the catch going, I think they could move this to great efficiency against New England. The Patriots are the number 27 defense in the NFL by EPA per play. It's not a great defense. I talk about the need to stop Keon White. That's the Patriots edge rusher that already has, I think, five sacks this year. No more Matthew Judon. Judon is with the Atlanta Falcons after the trade. So it's Keon White who's going to line up on both tackles. He's going to line up against the left side and against the right side. And obviously, we've got to keep our eye out for the status of Trent Williams. 49ers did not activate Chris Hubbard from the practice squad today. That's one of their backup tackles. So that might be a good sign that Trent Williams' toe was feeling better. But if he does play, he's going to have to face Keon White. Colton McKivitz, who's obviously weaker than Trent Williams, is going to have to face Keon White. And you could probably expect Keon to line up against the interior of the 49ers as well. He's a really good pass rusher that'll be all over the formation. So the Patriots are not a good defense overall, but they have one guy there that can kind of wreck the game. And then they play an amorphous scheme. And, Brian Flores obviously comes from this tree. Brian Flores has done his own thing with it in Minnesota. And I think what he's doing right now might be the toughest, especially early in the season, for quarterbacks to combat, because it's so many jokers on the defense, right? We call a joker. The 49ers have a lot of jokers on offense, and that is a versatile player, somebody who can be a wide receiver, or he can be a running back, or he can line up as a tight end. The ultimate joker for the 49ers is probably Kyle Juszczyk. He's really all over the field, from fullback to tight end, all the way to slot receiver and wide receiver. Well, the defenses that have spawned in the NFL to combat these really adaptable offenses have turned players into multi-positional players on the defensive side. The 49ers do a lot of that. Fred Warner, of course, he can cover. He could stop the run. He was a glorified defensive back at BYU in college at that nickel position. But these joker type of positions, there's a lot of them on this New England Patriots defense. And we know that that gave the 49ers some trouble when they faced something fairly similar schematically, I just think from the adaptability standpoint with the Vikings. Somebody like Andrew Van Ginkle was rushing the passer, was getting his hands and his long arms into passing lanes. Harrison Smith, the safety, was coming down from the back end, the secondary, and threatening the run. You know, with the Patriots, Kyle Duggar is going to be a player who you have to look at. He's a safety. You're going to have to look at him closer to the line of scrimmage, potentially further away. Brock Purdy's going to have to be on all of his P's and Q's at the line of scrimmage because New England is going to move guys around. Ultimately, though, New England, I don't think, has the firepower defensively to really challenge the 49ers in a consistent way, especially on the road. They're not going to have the crowd advantage in this game. The Patriots are number 27 defensively. They do interesting things schematically, dates back to the Bill Belichick era. I know they're under a new coaching staff now, but obviously with Mayo, that is a descendant of the Belichick coaching staff. He always seemed to be ahead of the curve when it came to coverage defensively. So the 49ers are going to have to combat some of that. But I think from a personnel standpoint, especially with Deebo Samuel back, the 49ers should have an advantage there. And again, they're going to have Brock Purdy, and the Patriots won't. I also have to say that the 49ers defense can fuel the offense. Offense feeds off of defense and obviously vice versa. But when we're talking from a schematic point of view for the 49ers in this game, I really think that defenses have been able to play them with this rush three cover eight philosophy more often than they're playing other teams with a rush three cover eight philosophy. Just by the fact that they know that the other side of the ball is going to be able to score some points against the 49ers. You can cede good efficiency to the 49ers offense by running softer defenses and just essentially cut off the great efficiency. You could cede that and allow the good efficiency if you believe that your own offense is going to score some points and move the ball against the 49ers. And of course, that's happened so far. San Francisco ranks number 24 in EPA per play defensively, number 28 against the run. But their defense can also fuel the offense. The 49ers defense can step up its game and help out Brock Purdy and company, force the Patriots to be a little bit more aggressive defensively, and more aggressiveness from New England would allow the 49ers efficiency to go up because we know how well Brock Purdy has handled the blitz, and we know how well the 49ers have generated yards after the catch when they've got a numbers advantage downfield. That's something that they have to reestablish in this game. But how do the 49ers have their offense feed off the defense? Well, New England, we have to remember, this is not an explosive offense. As I said, they only have about, what is it? Is it 83 yards? I think it's 82 or 83 yards passing on throws going over 10 yards in the air. They're going to run a lot of bunch sets, two tight ends. So Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, shout out to Stanford. Austin Hooper is going to be at the tight end position, but it's not an explosive New England offense. Now, the 49ers have struggled to stop the run, not just this season, but last year too. And they're going to have to buckle up and stop the run against this Patriots offense. Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson are both bruising backs. Jacoby Brissett, this is going to be run first team. They didn't run as much as they wanted to against the Jets because I think the Jets started to control game flow with Aaron Rodgers, but there's no reason to think that Brock Purdy can't do that on the other side. But San Francisco needs to put some sort of clamp down on New England that they haven't been able to do over the past 2 weeks. And this is also not a great offensive line. We could get into that in a bit. Because if they don't put that clamp down, if New England is able to get into the 20s scoring-wise in this football game, then the Patriots are going to be able to drop eight into coverage. They're going to be able to try to keep things in front of them. They're going to be able to, through that, I don't want to say muzzle the 49ers offense, but really limit the explosiveness of the 49ers offense because they'll cede a touchdown. They'll cede a couple field goals, believing that they can turn around on the 49ers defense and just outscore them. That's what happened to San Francisco against the Rams last week. So the 49ers defense needs to take it up a notch. They need to be at least average. They've been bad over the past 2 weeks. They need to be at least average to give the 49ers offense some real fuel going into the other direction. And needless to say, special teams just can't screw it up for the 49ers. I always remember the Belichick Patriots as being completely obsessed with special teams and winning games and closing margins through that phase of the game. And it's obviously something that has not gone well for the 49ers, especially over the past 2 weeks. So Shanahan always talks about special teams. Yeah, we'd love if they would help us win the game, but the first thing and the top priority is they can't lose the game. Past 2 weeks, you can argue that the 49ers special teams has lost the game for them. So they just need to hold serve, allow the defense to face an inferior quarterback and either Jacoby Brissett or Drake May and an inferior offensive line. It is not a good front for the New England Patriots. They rank last, dead last, number 32 in pass block win rate. So we talked about a bad Rams offensive line last week. I think the 49ers had their best pass rush showing. Obviously wasn't quite good enough, especially considering the fact that their secondary was still blowing some coverages. But this week, it might be just as cushy of a test for the 49ers, with the Patriots ranking last in pass block win rate and not being able to threaten the 49ers downfield in the same way that Matthew Stafford and the Rams were, even without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Laydon Robinson is the right guard for the Patriots. He's a rookie. He's already given up 3 sacks and 11 pressures this season. So I know no Javon Hargrave for the 49ers, but you look at Jordan Elliott, you look at Kevin Givens, you look at the guys that are working inside. Yetur Gross-Matos may work inside. Hell, maybe even Nick Bosa works inside a little bit in some pass rushing situations. The Pats line has not been good, and somebody like Laydon Robinson is probably somebody that you can capitalize on up front. Anyway, so you've heard what I think about the 49ers offense against the 27 Patriots defense. They're getting Kittle, they're getting Samuel back. I think the 49ers can get the 30 offensively at home in this game. So I think the 49ers will get the 30, and I just think it would be alarming for the 49ers defense to give up 20 plus again to an overmatched offense and an overmatched front. I don't think that the 49ers defense is going to have it fully figured out yet, so I think they're going to give up 17. But that's my final. 49ers 30, Patriots 17 in this game. San Francisco favored by 10. This obviously would cover that with a 13-point win. But those are my thoughts on this football game. All right, let's take a few questions here on this beautiful Saturday night. 49ers Q&A. By the way, before we open that up, make sure you sign up for the Standard. We're going to have Mike toss the link again into the description. We obviously are promoting this on every video. So there you go, Mike. Mike will put that into the description. I'll put it into the chat section actually right now for those of you watching live on YouTube, because we got several hundred of you there, 2,000 total. That's great. So here it comes up on the chat section. So you can't click on the screen, but you can go ahead and click on the YouTube actually live chat. So go there to be able to see this. 49ers 30, the New England Patriots 17 is my prediction. This was one of my articles for the Standard right before, where I go into a lot of the 49ers offensive strategy. We talk some yak as well in this one right here. A lot of cool stats. I'm trying to incorporate a lot of data for you here at my new place of employment, and we're trying to get the sports section up off the ground. So go ahead and check it out. Enter your email for free. You'll get these 49ers articles. I guarantee you this is as deep as it's going to get coverage wise into your inbox if you put in your email. So it will be all good. I'll also put it back out on Twitter one more time. Those of you who missed the beginning, I'm seeing some people saying you missed the beginning. You go ahead and rewatch this later. I think you could probably even rewind right now. Mark is asking, what's Ricky Pearsall's status? They expect him to begin practicing again next week. What an absolute miracle. Isn't that awesome? I mean, Ricky, it was just about a month ago now, right? It was maybe actually less than a month ago. Less than a month ago, Ricky Pearsall was shot in the chest near Union Square in downtown San Francisco. And now he's gearing up. He's going to be back out on the practice field in all likelihood less than a month after that. So miraculous stuff happening on that front. He might be able to help the 49ers as soon as the game against Seattle. But the practice window is just now opening up. The actual return to game window won't open up until after the 49ers' fourth game. What's the status on Spencer Burford and going to be a potential starter at right tackle? They're working him in at tackle. I don't think that he's going to jump up to a starting position just like that. Injuries can always happen. He played left tackle in college at Texas San Antonio. Let the season evolve. Normally, these kind of things work themselves out because you do have to fight through the attrition of the season. And if Spencer Burford is extremely impressive for the 49ers at tackle and they're not as impressed with Colton McKivitz, then a change can happen. But right now, I would say that it's much more likely that Colton McKivitz stays there throughout the year. But again, you can't have enough depth, especially at these tackle positions where you got really, really athletic edge rushers working to try to get Brock Purdy. I've had insights on the Christian McCaffrey thing the whole time. I just haven't been an emotional child about it. Like, we've seen so much of the headlines and everything have been knee-jerk reactions, emotions. I'm telling you, it's Achilles tendonitis. Achilles tendonitis sees inflammation. You have to rest when there's inflammation because it's not good to try to push through that inflammation to allow the tendon to repair itself, because the human body is another miraculous thing that can repair itself. So the 49ers saw that inflammation for Christian McCaffrey spike up after week one, right around week one. They put him on injured reserve to quiet things down. They believe things have quieted down. They hope it stays that way. They're going to begin ramping him up at practice on Monday. So that means he could potentially be back sooner rather than later. He even took a trip to Germany to see a specialist for it. Is that a guarantee that he's going to be back sooner rather than later? No, because this is an unpredictable situation. They have to hope that that inflammation doesn't start barking again. But that's all that I can tell you on Christian McCaffrey. I'm just going to stick with the facts. And I actually talked to people who are in the know on this situation. And legitimately, it's an I don't know kind of thing right now because of the unpredictability of the injury. But do not just go running off to Twitter and seeing headlines from, you know, places that aren't even connected to this situation and think that it dictates some kind of timeline for Christian McCaffrey, because I can tell you as someone who knows stuff about this, that's just not the case. Those things are not true. And it's better to just sit back, wait and see, because this is a tricky injury. Mike asks, does it make sense to mix Nick Bosa inside? They've done that before, back when they had the gold rush with D Ford. And well, D Ford definitely went inside. I'm trying to remember how often they did some creative stuff in that divisional playoff game in 2019 season against the Vikings. I'm not 100% sure though, if they did it with Nick Bosa. It could be worth trying though. It could be worth mixing up if they feel that they're not getting the type of pressure that they were getting with Javon Hargrave, who's one of the best interior rushers in the game. It could really be something for San Francisco to examine. Do I think that Debo's going to get his usual snap count if he's deemed good to go? Yeah, I think if he's deemed good to go, he's ready to play. This is not something where you're putting him out there on a short leash because he's not 100%. Still early in the season, you're only playing guys that are healthy, especially these superstars that you've got to make sure that you protect. So I would think that Debo Samuel would have his usual snap count. 78K, you were correct. Are we going to see Chris Conley on the field? He was on there for some snaps last week. I forgot exactly how many, maybe 11. Yeah, good chance you definitely see him on special teams. Maybe see a little bit more of him in this game against the Patriots. But just depends on how it shakes out for the 49ers. Remember that they do expect to have Debo Samuel back. Greenlaw update, probably not until around midseason. That's still a little bit of a ways away. You thought that the 49ers would be 3-0, not 1-2? Well, they're 1-2. It's just the way it works in the NFL. Sometimes it's unpredictable. But the good news for them is they've still got a lot of football left. I think they've got a problem if they can't win tomorrow. 1-3, losing to both the Rams and the Patriots. So they can right the ship, though. They might go out there and spank them. We'll see what happens tomorrow. 30-17. Sorry if I said 30-13. 30-17. That's my prediction. We'll talk to you guys soon.